Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aarti Drugs Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements by the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involves risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhish Patil, CFO at Aarti Drugs Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today to discuss our financial results for the quarter ended June 30th, 2022. The company's performance Q1 FY23 was impacted due to the challenging business environment in terms of constant depreciation in the domestic currency, leading to provision of notional Forex losses, lockdowns in China affecting purchase decisions in uncertain scenario, fear of recession in key geographies driven by ongoing geopolitical conflict, and continuous upward momentum in crude, coal, and other raw material input costs. I will now quickly take you through segment-wise performance, and then I will delve more into impact of rising input costs, the overall demand scenario, and the company's strategy to counter the ongoing difficulties. First, we'll take up standalone business performance. Standalone revenues for Q1 FY23 stood at rupees 551.4 crores as against rupees 507.4 crores, a growth of 9% year-on-year. Standalone business contributed approximately 86% to the consolidated revenue. Approximately 64% of the standalone revenues came from the domestic market, while the remaining 36% came from the exports market for Q1 FY23. Domestic revenue grew approximately by 3%, while exports grew by around 23% year-on-year. Within the API segment, the antibiotic therapeutic category contributed around 46%, antidiabetic around 13%, antiprotozoal around 19%, anti-inflammatory around 10%, antifungal around 9%, and the rest contributed around 4% to total API sales. For the quarter, revenue from operations for specialty chemicals and intermediates stood at rupees 56.8 crores, which grew 21% on year-on-year basis. Now we'll discuss formulation segment performance. For the quarter, revenue for formulation stood at rupees 85 crores as against 86.5 crores year-on-year basis. Formulation segment contributed approximately 14% to the consolidated revenue for the quarter. Approximately 50% of the revenue came from exports during the quarter. Exports continues to be the key focus area for formulation segment, and so far we are able to achieve the targets. Now coming to the consolidated results. As mentioned earlier, the company reported a revenue growth of 7%, which was mainly driven by higher realizations in antibiotics, antidiabetics, protozoals, and specialty chemicals. Demand in API business witnessed lower than anticipated traction as the offtake by the customers remained lower on the account of inventory recalibration at the customer's level due to high API prices. Margins and profitability continued to remain affected as sustained inflationary pressure impacted raw material cost, crude, power, and coal cost, coupled with sharp depreciation in the currency. This impact is likely to extend to some part of Q2 FY23 as well. Just to give you some perspective, there is an impact of approximately 4 crores due to Forex movement and rupees 8 crores due to rate increase in power and coal costs. The company has undertaken multiple price hikes since the beginning of FY23, and as a result, the company witnessed the highest ever realizations for most of its products in Q1 FY23 when compared to previous four quarters. Domestic demand for the antibiotic therapeutic category was slightly weaker for Q1 FY23. In the wake of series of sharp price hikes across almost all our products, the demand was subdued for the quarter for the same reason. The company expects normalized margin levels once the input price volatility stabilizes, which is expected from second half of FY23 onwards. We are already witnessing softening in some of the raw materials and some other input costs, although they are still much higher than long-term averages. Debt to equity ratio has marginally reduced to 0.51 by the end of Q1 FY23 in spite of carrying heavier inventories. Thus, there is scope to further improve on net operating working capital. Now coming to the company's ongoing capex, the company incurred a capex of rupees 35 crores during the quarter and planning to invest around 250 to 350 crores for the entire FY23. The civil construction activity for Gujarat capex remains well on track. However, heavy monsoons have slowed down the pace temporarily. Tarapur specialty chemicals brownfield capacity, for which we had taken scale-up batches in the last quarter, has now been ramped up and the optimization process is ongoing at the plant level. The company expects a meaningful contribution from this facility from second half of FY23 onwards. For Tarapur greenfield API facility, boiler and zero liquid discharge treatment plants have been operationalized from May 2022, and commissioning of the main plant is expected by the end of FY23. We firmly believe that most of the headwinds are transient in nature rather than structural, and hopefully it will improve soon. Our company remains confident of overcoming the challenges and remains optimistic on the opportunities for all the segments in the upcoming years, driven by the ongoing project capex, brownfield expansions, and higher utilization of existing capacities. With this, we can now begin the question and answer session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touch tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rupesh Tatia from IntelSense Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
So my first question is in specialty chemicals, sir, what is the capex amount we have spent and what is the revenue potential?
So approximately, you can say half of the budget, what we have planned in that 500 crore capex plan is will be going for specialty. And typically overall, on an overall basis, the asset turn is somewhere around 2 to 2.5 for those facilities.
Currently we are doing commercial sampling batches, right? How much is that capex? This 250 crore is a medium term.
Apple call kare tasleya Airtel number.
Hello. I think.
Hello.
Can you repeat the question?
So this 250 crore you are saying because specialty chemical, this is already spent or this is a medium term plan?
No. That is the ongoing capex which is happening in terms of greenfield project. So it will take around a year to finish. Approximately.
Yeah, but currently we are doing some sampling batches, right, in specialty chemical?
Yes, that is a brownfield expansion that we have carried out in the Tarapur facility.
How much is the amount, sir, for that one?
That is a brownfield. One second. Approximately, we don't give out the CapEx number, but then it is much lower, but very roughly around, you know, 90 crore-100 crore revenue potential is what we expect from that facility at a full scale level.
Okay. Specialty chemical has a better gross margin, EBITDA margin. Is that a fair understanding, sir?
Yes. That is true.
Okay. My second question, sir, is, I was going through your annual report. You have done 39,000 metric ton production, and our capacity is 49,000 metric ton roughly in FY 2022. What can we expect by FY 2023 exit? Both these numbers, production and capacity.
Production numbers, definitely some brownfield expansions will add up sooner. If our target date for the greenfield expansion of Tarapur facility completes, this number will be much higher. Right now, because we have not disclosed the product name and the capacity for the greenfield project, that is why we cannot answer it right now. It's an import substitute product, and the capacities will be quite huge by the end of FY 2023.
It will be at least, sir, 80,000 above? From currently roughly 49,000-50,000, would it be at least 80,000 and above, sir?
I think, yes, it could be more than 80,000.
Hello?
Once two, three projects comes into commercial production.
Okay. Another observation, sir, from annual report was your R&D expenses were, you know, only 7 crore, although the detail of R&D projects was quite extensive. What we see in other API companies is, sir, that R&D spend is, you know, like 3%-4% of the revenue. Why this number is so low, or is there some, you know, different way in which we are doing accounting and, you know, other companies are doing accounting? Because on a 2,500 crore revenue, 7 crore number looks really low. Yeah. Hello, sir.
Yes.
Do you want me to repeat my question?
Yeah, please.
Hello?
Yes, please.
Sir, my question is, I was going through annual report. The R&D spend number was 7 crore for a revenue base of, you know, 2,500 crore roughly. The R&D spend number of 7 crore looks really low. When we look at other API companies, the R&D spend is, you know, in the range of 3%-4% roughly. Is there some, you know, accounting difference? We are accounting it differently, the other companies are accounting it differently? That is my question.
Probably, to some extent that can be the case, because what happens is sometimes, we have to take trial batches at the plant scale also, you know. Which is a part of R&D, but then we expense it out and we don't, you know, consider, means, label it as R&D. Probably that is why it is looking low. Mainly our R&D is into process development. Process development and process improvement of the existing products. That is why I think, the number looks low.
Okay. My final question, sir, is in metformin, we were, I think, roughly around 1,100 tons per month capacity. What is the current capacity as of quarter one exit? Can you just give me the number?
As of now, we have reached 1,200 tons per month that can be achieved.
This is supposed to go to 2,000 tons per month by when?
Yeah. It might take, you know, a year, means, around 12-18 months time to achieve that number probably.
Okay. What is the capacity utilization right now of metformin?
Yeah. The last year, we tuned roughly, you can say, two-thirds, means in somewhere in mid-60s or something like that.
Okay. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aejas Lakhani from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking our question. In the press release, you mentioned that we've had the highest ever realizations for several API products in Q1 FY23. But despite the fact the EBITDA margin has been the lowest over the last 3 years, so does that mean the cost pressures were far higher than the realization and could you comment? So some of it you have already mentioned that some cost pressures are easing out, but what about the realization? Would realization sustain at current levels?
Yeah, so the thing is the reason for taking all these price hikes was because the input cost had escalated quite sharply in the beginning of this calendar year for multiple reasons which are highlighted. And then we started taking price hikes, you know, but there is always a lag in taking price hikes because of which definitely the margins, gross margins were squeezed in last quarter. But what we could see, the pending orders are even higher than what realizations we achieved in June quarter, you know. So probably that will help in the beginning of this Q2. And now that little bit easing is there in some areas, not everywhere, in some areas, hopefully the situation should improve quickly. And the thing is, this time for EBITDA margins, there had been pressure on two sides. One was gross contribution margin, and other was even at the manufacturing overhead side because of this coal, and there was a lot of rate variance and increase in the manufacturing cost, which also needs to be taken care ideally by the further enhancement in the gross contributions.
Okay. And so is it fair to assume this is the, this is sort of a bottom that we have hit, and from now on, EBITDA margins can only improve?
Yeah, we definitely feel so.
Okay. And in terms of volumes, would you take a call of reducing some prices so that your volumes are back on track, or you would want to have the current prices and then work with new partners to increase the volumes?
Yeah, so it was very challenging. So to pass on the margins, to maintain the margin and to pass on the increased input cost, we had to take very sharp price hikes. And when that thing happens so quickly, you know, there is a hit on demand side. Because at the customer side, if the inventories are not at critically low levels, they will refrain from making a purchase decision. So that impact definitely we have seen majorly in the domestic market. So hopefully right now, we don't want to make any variable losses, but as far as we are not making any variable losses for incremental production, I think we should go for it. Means more than margins, we should try to focus on the absolute EBITDA numbers. In shorter term, that is.
Got it. Just one more question.
Mr. Patil, hi, Aejas here. I wanted to ask you that you mentioned the inventory recalibration and, you know, the demand which was subdued. So can you speak a little bit about customer and inventory levels today? Is that normalized, and should we start to see volume upticks in second quarter, or, you know, there's still inventory left at their end?
I think our director, Mr. Harish Shah, would be better able to answer this question.
I think there is still, in many of the products, we see demand picking up again. But still, it is not at the pre-COVID levels, like about 2 years back. And what has happened also is that during COVID period, there was growth rate was very high, and all companies have budgeted high growth rate for this quarter also. So the inventory was very high at the beginning of the year, because last quarter they produced more of finished formulation. And that is what, and all the stocks levels at distributor and super stockist level were very high. But we expect now this quarter, at least we started seeing some improvement from July. Yeah.
Got it. And sir, for all the increase in cost, yeah, is the present price hike adequate to maintain our levels of gross margins, or is the price hike still needed?
Now the raw material prices started softening. Basically, all basic chemical prices went up, like caustic flakes, sulfuric, all sulfur-based chemistry due to crude oil, solvent prices, you know. They have started correcting now due to overall degrowth in textile, in pharma last quarter. So that, so we feel this quarter there should be definitely improvement in the gross margin, yeah.
Got it. And sir, what is the debt today? Because we are expecting to say take some incremental debt in the current year for the 250 to 350 crores of capex, right?
Yes. So as of today, the total debt figure on a consolidated basis is around 541 crores, out of which around 187 is long term, and rest is short term for working capital.
Got it. And so this number is likely to go up by about, say, 150 crores during the course of the year. Is that understanding correct?
Yes, probably. It should. But then with the increase, so what we were expecting, at the peak, debt to equity can go around 0.7 or something, 0.7, 0.775, 0.78. And then again from there, it should start coming down with each quarter because of the additional profits.
So could you quantify that in as a number of the debt instead of the 0.7? You know, is the number at peak 700?
Yeah. Right now, okay, debt number you mean?
Yeah.
Debt number, yes, so we were in by the end of it, say around 50%. This is roughly, it is a very rough calculation, around 50% of our this thing will be funded through term debt. And at the same side, there will be some repayments also, around 30 crores per annum, 30 to 40 crores per annum every year. You can say around 150, something like that.
Yeah, 130 crores incremental from here. So 545 crores is what we are at. So we should peak out at 700 and then start to taper down. Right. Okay. Got it, sir. Okay. Thanks, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bobby Jayaraman from Falcon. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. One of the bit concerning about your business model is that you don't have any control over your EBITDA margin. The kind of reasons you're giving on INR depreciation and input cost inflation and all that, that's going to happen in some form or the other all the time, right? That's out of your control. But it seems that when you raise prices, it is demand. So given this, how are you planning for so much capital expenditure when you don't know what your level of profits is going to be because you don't have control of your margin?
Yeah. So the thing is, one thing is for sure, because we have been doing this business since last 30 years, what we have realized is that the kind of product profile we have and the kind of efficiencies we have over competitors and the level of backward integration, 15 to 16% EBITDA margin is fairly easy. I mean, it is not something very optimistic. So definitely you can say scenario, it's transitory in nature and it won't sustain for long. So we know that it will revert. But with this, if we stop doing capex, you know, that will definitely impact our growth in third and fourth year. And as far as this INR depreciation I was talking about, because it has happened suddenly in one quarter, we had to provide notional forex losses, you know, for our open imports. But against that, our export orders, which we have already taken for 2.5 to 3 months, they will be going at a much higher price in the June quarter. So part of that will be offsetted in the September quarter. And another thing what had happened is that power rates had gone up in the month of April, and you get all those numbers and bills and everything by, you know, mid May or May. So there was some level of rate variation in the power cost, more than approximately around 1.5 crore. And then there was almost 6.5 crore variation in the rates of coal. So what happens is that many of the times, you know, when you negotiate contracts in shorter term, it is always done based on what are the input costs, the main key intermediates, and accordingly what should be the selling prices. But then slowly, when this kind of coal prices becomes a new norm, then definitely those gross contributions needs to be revised in the newer negotiation. So that will come, that also will come back on track. Apart from that, around we foresee that approximately 2 crores, means two and a half, means around 0.5% of the EBITDA margin we can recover by reduction in some cost. Means last quarter we had some exceptional one-time maintenance as well as US FDA remediation cost, which also we have booked in last quarter. So that will also be not there from the next quarter. So what we feel is that 15 to 16% EBITDA margin, we should recover. It is just a matter of time. Means once the volatility stops in macro factors, then it should be back on track.
What about the competition from China? Is it back to
so competition from the stiffest competition from China was in the decade of 2001 to 2010. After that, from 2011 to 2020, what we had seen that we had become very competitive against China. Means I'm talking even before pre-COVID levels. And then towards the end of 2020 decade, the Chinese government had started implementing very strictly all the pollution norms and everything. So their OPEX has also gone up. Sometimes there might be few cases where, you know, a particular raw material or a commodity is available cheaper in China. So they might get a benefit of that in few products, what we have seen. But apart from that, from the efficiency point of view and the overall cost point of view and the process and the technology point of view, we are very much competent with China. And in the top 10 products, top 14 products what we manufacture, around four or five products, we are even larger than Chinese capacity.
Right, but in terms of pricing, because if you go back to the earlier era, right, 2001 to 2010, your margins were only at 10%.
Correct. And then we improved in the next.
Right, you only started getting to 15-16% after 2030. So given that there's been this major reset after COVID, what gives you the conviction that things won't go back to the old days? I know the pollution and all that, I take that point, but
even if it goes back to the old days, that is what we feel it will be around 15-16% pre-COVID. Means in the COVID, actually the margins had gone up even beyond 20%.
Right. And the reason is because you think the Chinese have higher costs and they won't, you know, get into pricing competition. Is that the reason? Or?
Yeah, recently that has been the trend.
Right, but and you make a statement in your press release that when you increase the API prices, there was some demand disruption. So what are these dealers waiting for? Lower API prices? Because at some point they do have to stock up, right? These are medicines and, it's not discretionary.
Yes, very, very, very true. And that is the reason why, we were at least able to achieve some bit of sale at a very high prices. So for the players where, you know, they had a little bit higher inventories, they must have refrained. But the players where the inventory was critically low, they had to make that purchase at the higher price, is what we have answered.
So if input prices don't come down, assuming they are at the same level, which is a very probable scenario, your margins will only be around this 11-12% level. Is that right?
No, no. If it gets stabilized at this price, this level, then slowly in years time, if they remain high for a year like this, it should again move upwards. It should start going up. Because ultimately, all the businesses, they look at return in longer term. So if, you know, a particular company is not able to make decent enough returns in this business, especially API manufacturing is a technology-oriented business, then people start exiting, the competitors start exiting. That is what we have seen in the past.
So you're saying if inputs stabilize at a higher level, the formulation guys would have no alternative but to purchase at a higher price?
Yes, and what will happen, you know, as of today, there are certain pricing caps on the finished formulations. Means at the customer, at the end, at the retail level. So even those will be revised by the governments if such cost pressures persist for a long time.
Okay. All right. So if the margins aren't at 15-16%, then your ROICs don't make sense. Is that correct? The CapEx that you're undergoing, the 600 crores, it's not going to be commercially viable if you don't get that level of margin, correct?
No. What we do internally, we check whether the IRRs of the project is beyond 18% or not for the project. For the new products what we are launching, and if they are, then we do. And whatever products we have selected as of now, they make a lot of sense as of now. Only thing is, see, when we launch a particular product, obviously, initially, and say for depending upon product to product, 3 to 6 months goes, you know, in optimizing the process. Whatever results we have achieved at the plant or sorry at the lab or the pilot level, it takes some time to achieve the similar kind of results at a very big commercial batch level. So that much time goes, but then ultimately we are very confident to achieve, you know, good return on investments for the newer products.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anchal Kansal from Green Portfolio Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Good morning.
Sir, in previous con call, you said that you have backed out from PLI scheme as you were able to complete the project in 20 crores, not meeting the government's capex requirement of 80 crores. But in recent investor presentation, PLI scheme is still mentioned. So I wanted to know if this both are linked in
a way. The thing is, I think that is missed out, overlooked. We'll correct that. Thank you for pointing out.
Okay. No worries, sir. So, as we know, we have heard a lot about anti-China. In some industries, impact is already on ground. How is it impacting the chemical sector? And I wanted to know how dependent are the China on raw materials for financial year 2022?
Okay.
Sorry, 2023.
So the thing is, So right now still, you know, approximately our imports is like imports and indigenous purchases is like 50-50. And as I said, okay. That around 50. Around 15-18% of the raw materials are available only in China. Rest can be procured from the rest of the world. So that risk is always there. So we have developed technologies, but right now we are not going ahead with the capex of those that particular backward integration. The newer projects, what we are launching, few import substitutes also what we are launching. For raw material of those, we won't be dependent on China. So. Overall, on an aggregate basis, our dependency should come down ideally with respect to China.
Okay. So, can you tell me the capacity utilization on an average give or take? And your revenue has decreased 11% quarter on quarter. How about volume in the same period?
Yes. Our volume has also decreased, right? This particular in exports, the volume has grown, but in domestic market, the volume has gone down. And the main reason was very high prices, which, you know, we were trying to fetch in the antibiotic category. There we saw a lot of volume degrowth for the first quarter because of the very high price escalations.
Are you underutilizing the capacity?
Yes, we are. We are. So we are expecting that to go up.
Sir, since the volumes are not rising and we have spare capacity, so what is the point of doing capital expenditures?
So see, so volumes, what we have now, the spare capacities what we have are for particular products. And we
Okay.
typically 80%-90% of our revenue comes from dedicated plant. And it is not,
Okay.
it is just present in nature, means for one quarter. It is not that the overall market of that product has gone down or will go down. It should come back. That volume should come back. And plus, there is a lot of scope in further increase of market share as well. So
Okay.
that scope is also there.
So one more question. So EBITDA and PAT margins can be seen declining due to high other expenses. So can you please shed some light on the other expenses that you have incurred? Does this include one-time maintenance and US FDA reinspection costs that you just mentioned?
Yeah, so other expenses will means that will also include all our manufacturing expenses. I think the one format which you're looking at. So right, that am I right? That includes manufacturing, right? There is no separate manufacturing expense in that. We are looking at what we published in the SEBI, right?
Yes, what you published in
Yes.
the report
Yes.
yesterday.
Yes. So yes. Yes, I saw that. So that includes all the manufacturing expenses. One of the most important variation what we have seen is in coal, around 6.5 crore and around 1.5 crore in power. That is only because of the rate variation year on year. Means even if we keep the consumption same, just because the increase in the rates of coal and increase in the rates of power, means kWh unit, that much cost have gone up. And risk and others, some other would be means increments in the employee means EB expenses, and then selling and distribution freight has gone up because of the increase in the crude since February. And there are few expenses, one-time expenses as well related to the US FDA remediation and few other expenses which were in one time in some very old plants we had done some maintenance which we experienced so.
Okay, sir. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chirag Dagli from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So what is the volume growth in Q1?
No, so there is no volume growth, thank you. Yeah, so there is no volume growth in Q1. Only the export has some very small, lower 2-3% kind of a volume growth. But mainly all the growth is because of the higher rates what we have charged in Q1. And basically that it was like either that or you achieve the volume growth and keep the rates low. So those are the only two options.
Understood. Understood. So volumes were flat for the quarter.
But we expect it to grow because it cannot remain flat for, you know, longer period, because then the inventories will go down.
Sure. Sure, I understand. What percentage of your revenue is long-term contracts versus spot business? Or is it mostly spot?
I will give you a brief summary and then I will ask Harit bhai to answer that question. But in domestic market, what happens? You can say, very roughly, I'm saying 70%-80% would be more of a short term. I mean, within 1 month or 1.5 months delivery. But in exports, deliveries are around, means the pending orders are around 2.7 to 3 months typically. And also, a few of the customers, they like to do longer term contracts as well in terms of supply of quantity that ranges anywhere between 6 to 12 months. That also is there. It is mainly observed in the case of bigger MNCs. They like to do longer term contracts.
But 80% of the domestic business, which is 2/3 of the business, is 1 month kind of delivery. So mostly spot kind of market.
For domestic.
Understood. Okay. Other thing was, sir, on this specialty chemical capex, you indicated 250 odd crores. Roughly, you are likely to have 600 odd crores kind of sales from this business. Question is, how do you sell this? Who are the customers? Are these the same customers that you have for pharma? How, you know, what is the customer set? How are you doing market seeding, etc.?
For the spec chem?
Yes.
For special business, right? Harinpai, would you like to answer that question?
Yeah, actually, most of the customer would be chemical companies or intermediate companies, these pharmaceutical companies. And we have already selling some products to them. So marketing would not be, it won't be a new customer. But some products, there will be a new customer specifically for specialty chemical products. But normally, we are in touch with them for most of our other group company also are selling some product to them. So the question of new customer won't be arise. More or less, same customers would be there.
You don't see a challenge basically in
market? No, we don't see any challenge, yeah.
Understood.
So one product which we are planning to do is import substitute products. So they will be, they are imported from China. So we will be replacing that with indigenous product, yeah.
Understood, sir. And sir, in terms of new product launches that you've done in the last 2-3 years on the API side, how has traction been there? Are we suboptimal there? You know, if you can just give some color of what part of our business today comes from new products launched in the last 2-3 years, and what is the kind of traction that we're expecting?
So mainly the new product launches were more on the spec chem side, where we have seen more traction in last couple of years. The APIs which we have launched recently, that is yet to receive traction. And right now I would say it is, you can say, almost break even or that kind of a thing, because scale up batches are going on. So right now we haven't received any profit from those products, you can safely assume that.
So how many are these? What is the potential there?
The market space is big, means it can go over 200 crores overall market potential for this product. But then obviously we haven't put those high capacities yet. We have only put the capacities for around say 80 200 crores kind of a turnover. And once we get traction in that, and so after that, we will be in fact going for a maybe newer plant, which much higher capacity, once we get success with that level.
So that 80 to 100 crore potential has also not been reached, sir?
No. So we are far from that. So we are still in the process of optimizing the intermediates and doing more backward integration, getting some tolling done for some intermediates so that we can reduce the cost, and then we will go full-fledged on those products.
Understood. And how many products are these? How many APIs are these?
So mainly newer, means in gliptins we have two. In spec chem, again, one or two products. But obviously there are derivatives of chlorosulfonation chemistry only. Also in chlorosulfonation, lot of our earlier products which we used to make, since we had a long list of chlorosulfonation products, but many of them were like, though they are there, but meaningfully it was not there. So we are hoping to increase the market of that. So it will be like as good as a new product in terms of increase, you know, in the scale up. So there also we are focusing more.
So, but that is on the specialty chemical side, right, sir?
Correct.
No, I'm saying on the API side, there are two gliptins that you talked about. What else?
Correct. And there are a few antifungal products which we are means we have done piloting of that, but as of now, they are not contributing anything on the bottom line.
Understood. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gagan Tareja from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, good morning. Sir, my first question is on the tax rate. Why is the tax rate for the quarter higher compared to 1Q of last year on year, and I think even sequentially?
I think that is more to do with the deferred tax. Otherwise, it remains same because we have gone for that 22 point something plus taxation. So we have opted for that.
So full year, what should be the tax rate for you then?
Ideally, around 25% is what we expect.
Okay. Okay. And what has been the reason for the formulation sales not growing in this quarter? They have actually dropped 2% year on year.
Though the formulation sales did not grow, but then the profitability was very, very good. I think Vishwa is on the call, so he will answer your question.
So basically, last quarter, last year same quarter, sales were higher because of some, you know, more of domestic tender execution, especially some of the COVID-related products were also in higher sale at that time. However, it has been our constant focus to shift from the domestic to more value-added sales. Due to that, although there is not a high growth, there is not a growth in revenues, but there is a substantial growth in profitability.
Okay. But how should we then think of formulation sales from a full year perspective for FY23 and going ahead, both in terms of growth and in terms of margins?
In current financial year, our focus is to grow more in profitability and grow export sales. Our sales expectations for the remaining quarters are more or less in line with our current quarter sales. But at the same time, we have a CapEx project going on, which is in the final stages and due to be completed in the next one quarter, and which will start adding revenues from the next financial year. The new block will start add up capacities for us and start contributing revenues from next financial year.
How much capacity will that effectively add for you?
Basically, it's a new line. Right now, we are into general oral solids. This is a dedicated facility for oncology. So in terms of the number of units, it will be lower since it's more of a high-value product. But our ultimate expectation in the next, once it starts in the next, in about 1.5 to 2 years, is to reach revenues of about 200 to 250 crores from the new facility.
So 200 to 250 crores additional sales from the new onco line?
At full potential, we can reach, yeah.
And it'll take two to two and a half years for you to do that.
Correct.
Right. And when you say your margins have improved in formulations, you know, if you could give us some idea of how much they have improved year on year for you.
So in this quarter, we've achieved a profit before tax of about 12 crores. In terms of margin, it's about at about 14-15%. We expect to kind of
I will answer that. The margins, means the EBITDA margins year on year has grown from 6.7% to now 15% EBITDA in this particular quarter, and the PBT margins have also gone up from around 5.8% to around 14%. So it is mainly on the accounts of higher export sales, as Vishwa said, that we are focusing more on profitability now and the export sales than the earlier we used to do a lot of toll manufacturing sales, which has much lower profitability.
Okay, so you've discontinued with toll manufacturing and you actually emphasized more on export sales. So if you could give us some idea of the sales mix, you know, this quarter, how much was exports as a proportion of total formulation sales versus last year? And also for toll manufacturing, how much was it as a proportion of formulation sales compared to last year?
So we have not discontinued the contract manufacturing or toll manufacturing sales. It's just that we are slowly trying to reduce that in favor of higher capacity utilization for exports. So current quarter would be roughly about 50% of our revenues would be from exports, and also there are slightly higher about 5-7% more in indirect exports as well.
Okay, and with the onco line, would margins have potential to grow further still because of you know, it being maybe a high realization product versus the plain vanilla whites?
Yeah, we would expect it to have higher margins, and since that would be more concentrated on regulated markets. However, as you know, currently the scenario in regulated markets is also there is a lot of margin pressure. So while we would expect it to be better, but there is also significant competition in oncology in those markets.
Okay. And the next question is around, you know, the capacity expansion that you're planning. What's the fixed cost associated with, you know, with the new facilities, greenfield and brownfield, that will come up? And what will be the, you know, break-even utilization for you in these capexes?
So you are asking about the formulation facility, right?
Not formulation. I'm looking at your capital investment plans in aggregate. You know, the Tarapur facility and the Gujarat facility. As and when they come on stream, what's the additional fixed cost, and at what utilization do you break even?
Yeah, typically, you know, the addition of fixed cost once the facility is to use, then it will start coming into our financials. More or less, you know, whatever we have right now, you know, in terms of percentages, more or less it won't be impacted much, frankly speaking, with the addition of new capacity. It will be more or less in line in terms of percentage to sales. So that impact won't be that high.
Right. And what would be the break-even point for in terms of utilization for these capacities?
Probably we feel that within 1 year's time, we should be able to break even. Means okay. The utilization will go up, and on month-to-month, it should be in profit.
Okay. So you're saying at 1 year's time post-commissioning, you know, you can see these capacities sort of contributing to profit. Okay. And you mentioned that, you know, the stringency of the Chinese government regulations on environment standards has increased. I would then, you know, infer that a certain amount of input cost inflation coming from China is actually sustainable in nature and has nothing to do with, you know, the geopolitics or the COVID or the supply chain issues. It would simply be higher because the operating cost for your suppliers based out of China would have actually gone up. If you could therefore, you know, sort of delineate as to how much cost inflation is coming from this factor and therefore is there for, you know, to stay for the future, and how much can sort of soften because of you know, the transitory impact of some of these issues related to COVID and supply chain and so on.
Yeah, Harit bhai, would you like to answer this on the raw material side?
What has happened in China over the years, that chemical sector, government is giving low priority now due to environmental issue, and many industrial parks which were in near the cities have been asked to move to remote places, and plus environmental norms have become more stringent. So there, and plus in addition to that, the labor cost also in China is very high compared to vis-a-vis to India now. So overall scenario, if you are efficiently producing any product, you can always compete China. That is our philosophy. We feel that we can always compete China, basically.
My question is that your procurement cost of the inputs coming from China, not your competency versus the Chinese supplier. I'm saying since you rely very heavily on Chinese vendors to for your inputs, and some of those input costs would have, you know, gone up simply because the operating costs of your vendors based out of China would have gone up on a sustainable and permanent basis.
Correct.
Which you therefore need to pass on to protect your margin, right? Some of the other input cost inflation is, you know, related to a sharp up move due to supply chain disruption caused by COVID, and some coming from the sharp gas price movement and so on. So I am simply trying to pass the or separate out, you know, the impact between these two elements, because one is sustainable going ahead and one is, you know, sort of something that can normalize. And therefore trying to understand how much of the input cost inflation is actually now permanently set in the base and how much can go away.
It depends on the product to product. It differs basically, but 10-15% pre-COVID level, the costs have gone up. That will be sustainable for future. You know, that will be the permanent cost gone up. You know, basically, because many small producers have stopped producing in China, so there are less producers for particular products. You know, so
And have you seen the prices of intermediates and key starting materials soften over the last month or two for you?
Not from China, but from domestically, yes. Some due to higher power cost, this commodity price, some chemical, basic chemicals like nitric acid, ammonia, caustic soda, etc., which is very commonly used in all our APIs and chemicals, have started softening now. Basically,
bulk chemicals, I understand, as often. I'm sort of looking more for
intermediates. Price also little bit softly. Yes.
Okay. So final question from my side. I mean, you in the products, you know, that you supply, you've said that you've not been able to pass on the input price increase. Having tried to do so, you've lost out on volumes. I mean, if that is the case, I'm simply trying to understand, is the supply or the capacity for supply for these products in the market well in excess of the demand, and therefore even a very large and very cost competitive supplier like you has not been able to pass on?
Partly true, but what has also happened is last quarter, our sales were very high, and all the formulation companies started believing that this whatever growth was there in last 2 years will sustain. So they have formulation, all distributor level, everything, their forecast was very high, and they produced more in last quarter basically. So now more of destocking is happening than they're happening in this quarter basically. So that was the major. It is not one
sustainable sales.
Yeah.
It was basically a lot of channel inventory being replaced.
I will answer that question. See, what happened is, we are able to pass on increased prices, and that is why more than 90% of the customers have procured at that high level. Maybe 10% or some customers have refrained from purchasing at that higher level, probably because they might be the ones to have the better inventories in the last quarter. So they were able to refrain that postpone that purchasing decision. But if it persists for longer period, then even they will have to start buying at such high levels. So more or less, this impact is more in short-term nature than long-term nature.
dilemma is that for the last so many quarters, it has been difficult not only for you but for the entire sort of API industry to pass on the input inflation in commensurate measure in output prices to formulation companies. This can happen only, you know, in the case where alternate supplies are available to formulation companies at lower prices. Otherwise, I fail to understand why, you know, this has been the case. Even intermediate suppliers have managed to protect margin better than API suppliers. So I'm simply trying to understand what has been the underlying reason for this. You are at least in 3 or 4 molecules you're the largest supplier globally, let alone in India. And even then, you know, it has been very hard for you to pass input inflation in full measure or anywhere close to full measure. So what else explains that?
What I can make out of it is only one thing, that last entire 1 year, you know, last 5 quarters, prices have gone up to a large extent. If we take current quarter selling prices with respect to, you can say, last quarter's purchase prices, then the margins will look fantastic. But right now it is not looking, because again the escalation had happened at the input prices, means in the month of February till April.
I get that, but is it also a case that, you know, in the products that you supply, at least for the domestic market, most of them are under price control, and therefore, you know, the formulation companies give you pushback and resist, you know, input inflation being passed on because they themselves can't pass it on.
Definitely,
they are under DPCO.
Definitely that happens, and they get escalations every year, no? So based on inflation. So if this kind of scenario persists, then definitely there will be more escalations in the final prices. And
yeah,
then they should be able
now
to
has given a 10%. This year has been given, they've been given a 10.7% sort of a...
Right, but they work on last 12 months data. Na? So there is, they also have a lot of lag in terms of numbers. And obviously they will also be conservative in increasing prices. So if it persists like this, then definitely they will have to look into it.
Okay. Thanks a lot for taking my question. I'll get back in with you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Adish Patil for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining us on the call and having a good discussion. We look forward to interacting with you again with, you know, a bit of good set of numbers in the next quarter. Please reach out to us via our IR consultants SJ or directly to us if we have any further queries. We can now close the call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.